This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Invin Global Esports Analyst James Hong is going to join me to talk about the Aatrox rework and other changes in League of Legends patch 8.13. Thanks for joining me, James.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so you can't help but notice it. Aatrox is everywhere. What do you think of the rework so far?
I'm actually kind of disappointed in the rework just because Aatrox, for all the years he's been out in League of Legends, he's finally made it into the meta, but now they're rechanging him. So it's kind of unfortunate in that aspect, but the rework itself, I think it's pretty impressive. He looks pretty fun to play and mechanically heavy. So I'm overall happy, but sad at the same time, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. Just when you start seeing pros play him, all of a sudden they're like, no, we're changing it. They changed the storyline, right? Do you know what it is?
They tweaked the storyline just a little bit, not necessarily changed it, you know, completely. So before, Aatrox's story was that he was a being of war, that he would descend among, you know, war times and kind of sway the path of which side is going to win, et cetera, et cetera. But I believe now he's titled, quote unquote, the World Ender. So it's kind of an amplification of what he was before. So he's now this godlike being of war that just wreaks havoc on people.
Now, do you think that he's more difficult to play with the rework or now?
If I would rate the Aatrox right now out of 10 with difficulty, I would say a solid 6 or 7, but now I think it's a high 8 to 9. Just because of the way all of his kit works and the cooldown redundant kind of things, it's very mechanical heavy. So I think the new Aatrox rework is much more difficult than the previous one.
Yeah, I noticed that because I played him a little bit on the PBE, that his Q and E are so intertwined together. Q and then E to dash forward to get your next Q in, and then E again to dash forward so you can get your Q again.
Yeah.
So, because nobody's going to stand there while you hit them. I have noticed that this is the second kind of bruiser type champion that has a passive to take out like support moves. With Irelia, she had she's a bit of a shield killer. And now Aatrox, his passive mutilates, heals, and shields. Why do you think Riot's going so hard on support?
Last year, Riot actually addressed that they really needed to tackle some of the issues with the strength of heals and shields in League of Legends. And they did that with some of the support changes and now introducing, you know, some of the reworks such as Aatrox and Irelia. They're really enforcing that direction of we need to keep, you know, heals and shields under control. But I think that's why they're going so hard at it.
Yeah, but now it's not even worth taking a Jaina, you know. It's not even worth taking Sona. You see Brand and Veigar as support more often because, well, you know, there's no point in having anybody to put a shield on you now. It's almost killing that meta.
League of Legends is a multiplayer game, and as with any multiplayer game, there's items and levels and champions involved. There's always going to be a set meta, right? And to have a meta that's been established for a couple of months or a couple of years is boring for not only the players, but also the spectators watching the games, whether it be, you know, the World Cup championships or just regular NALCS games. So overall, it is beneficial for everyone for, you know, seeing these changes once in a while, new champions going to new lanes. So I think this is overall healthy for the game as of yet.
Before we leave Aatrox, I just have to know, because I was a little bit confused about the champion. Do you think he's going to be a tanky bruiser or a pure attack damage bruiser? Because I can't figure it out.
I actually think he can be a bit of both, but I'm leaning more towards the tanky kind of bruiser type just because his skills can be weaved in with one another in like kind of a spam-like fashion. So maybe if you're ahead, you can go for the full AD lethality build, but I don't recommend it necessarily just because it is probably very difficult to play. But if you want to go to the tank route, you know, there's a lot of items and his skills offering healing, some mobility as well, offers a lot of leeway for you to be that tanky kind of bruiser in the team fight. So, I mean, it is really up to the person, I guess, playing Aatrox, whether, you know, what direction they want to go. But in my personal opinion, I think tanky bruiser is probably better.
So what kind of rune spec would you take for a tanky bruiser?
So for a tanky bruiser, I would actually consider two runes. it would be either Conqueror or Electrocute. Conqueror, just because he likes to do a lot when he has his cooldowns and he's a top laner, which, you know, fits into all the categories of what you want, you know, Conqueror to accomplish. And secondly, Electrocute, just because since his skill set is so cooldown heavily dependent in the early game, you really want to go for those trades and you want to back out, farm, and wait for your cooldowns and trade again. And Electrocute does wonders if you want to play that kind of playstyle. And I'm not saying Electrocute is better than, you know, the other runes or better than Conqueror, but it is probably one of the most viable runes for him.
All right, so for the upcoming patch 8.13, what champion is going to be nerfed?
So there's actually a crap load of buffs and nerfs to a whole load of champions. And some of the changes that I necessarily don't understand are changes such as Camille's nerf to her E, like her damage decrease, and some changes to Jarvan. Let's just say his Demacian standard, which is his E, which is the flag that you put down, has, you know, been decreased on cooldown and damage increase. So let me go through some of these changes. So the changes I mentioned, just as Camille and Jarvan, they're really unnecessary, and I feel like very placebo-like, just because people pick Camille top lane or jungle not because her E does so much damage, right? It's because she has so much mobility, she has so much utility, and she has that one-on-one dueling presence, and her scaling is optimal, and that's why you pick Camille. And lowering the damage on her E by, you know, 55 damage at max rank really doesn't change how she's played and why she's picked. So I really don't understand the nerf behind this. I don't believe it's going to change the way she's going to be played, and she's probably going to be picked, you know, just as often as before. And same with champions like Jarvan as well. Jarvan is not really used that often in professional play and in solo queue, just because he has a really bad clear time. He has a hard time in the jungle, you know, has low health to start with, so he can't gank right off the bat at level 3, level 4. And also, his scaling is not that good. If you want to go full damage, he scales really hard off late game. And if you want to go full tank, you're really dependent on your team to do something, just because all he has is that really ultimate cage-like ability. Now, some of the changes that are interesting and that are going to affect the game are changes to Kassadin, Kindred, Mastery, and Nunu, and I'll go into that. So first of all, the changes to Kassadin, which is probably the most significant one of all, is that his W actually never stacked tier because it had no mana cost. So now they put an invisible mana cost, aka, you know, it will cost one mana or something very insignificant, just so it can stack tier. And now it may seem that it may be very insignificant that, you know, oh, one ability, how bad or how good can it be in stacking tier? But, you know, Kassadin in lane actually uses QWE a lot, especially W. And the cooldown on W is relatively short compared to his other abilities. So when you put this into consideration of Kassadin when he's laning, he's going to have a lot more uptime on his W and a lot more faster charge on his tier, which means he hits power spikes harder. And also his E and R's AP ratio got increased as well, so that improves his scaling and spikes even more so. So I'm excited to see where Kassadin is going to be after this patch. I assume he's going to be a fairly contested pick in solo queue and maybe even rise up in competitive play as well. And we talked a little bit about Kindred last patch, I believe, where I addressed that some of the problems with Kindred is because of her passive not being very consistent in stacking. I'm guessing in order to solve this, Riot has implemented actually a new passive to Kindred's W, where it sort of acts like the precision rune, where you get certain stacks and you get health back on 100% stacks, which is press the attack. The new passive is as Kindred moves and attacks, they build stacks of Hunter's Vigor, which stacks up to 100 times. And when you're at 100, you drain a portion of the target's health back to Kindred. So this essentially gives her a better early game clear and better transition from early to mid game, which I like. But I'm afraid that this change might still not be enough for Kindred. I'm a jungle player as well. I like enjoying playing Kindred a lot, and I hope to see her more often, but sadly, I don't believe this change will be that enough. But I think it's in the right direction, which is why I put her into the categories of very significant buffs and changes, etc. Now, moving on to Mastery and Nunu. Now, these champions are getting nerfed only because of this new strategy that has emerged called the gold funneling strat. So essentially, this gold funneling strat is where you get a hyper carry that scales really well, and then you get a support that can help out the hypergary, and they just dual farm the entire map, right? And it was to the point that it was so OP that pro players would pick up the strategy and even use it in competitive play and NLCS, things like that. So in order to tone down this power level, they're nerfing champions that abuse the strategy, such as Master Yi and Nunu. So Master Yi is getting dealing less bonus damage to minions on his Q, and Nunu's W got an overall nerf on the early game power time on it. And other champions like Lucian, who are actually seen sometimes in replacement of Master Yi, is also getting nerfed.
What about items? Are any items buffed or changed?
The items that are changed are Essence Reaver, Gwyn's Rageblade, Infinity Edge, and Stormraiser. Now, the two things that are most significant about these is the Infinity Edge and Gwyn's change. Now, there is a change to Essence Reaver, which the passive got reduced from 8 seconds to 6 seconds, but at the same time, the attack speed got increased by a whole 20%. And with these changes, it doesn't really necessarily change the champions that want to go Essence Reaver anyways, because 6 seconds is still a significantly long amount of time in a game like League of Legends, and they just buffed the attack speed on it. So I think it's going to be an even more better item in future games, and champions like Lucian, Renekton, and Master Yi that like to go Essence Reaver is going to go Essence Reaver even more. And the biggest changes are Gwyn's and Infinity Edge. So the reason why these are two big changes is because Gwyn's was overpowered solely because all the crit items and crit champions got nerfed, right? The costs got increased and all the ADC's base stats got decreased. So it was really hard for crit scaling ADC's like Caitlyn or Tristana or Twitch to really have that early to mid game power spike and presence. But now with the Gwyn's nerf, with the AD, bonus AD, and AP stat increase, decrease, we might see a bit more variety in ADCs in the meta, I would say. It's because in conjunction to this, Infinity Edge also got cheaper by 100 gold. So maybe instead of seeing Kai'Sa, Varus, Kog'Maw every game in solo queue and in competitive play, maybe we'll see a variety of Infinity Edge utilizing ADCs such as I said before, Caitlyn, Tristana, things like that. But it's still too early to decide on whether which direction the meta will shift for these items. But overall, Gwyn's still has just a little bit of an upper hand over crit ADCs just because it is still significantly cheaper. But we'll just have to see about that.
Are any runes being changed around?
There are two changes, actually. One is to Hail of Blades, and second is to Unseal Spellbook. And I believe both of these changes are very irrelevant and kind of placebo buffs, I would say. Just because, as I mentioned in an earlier interview, Hail of Blades is just not used because ADCs can't get the best out of it because of all the other runes that they need to invest in or give up on if they want to go the Domination Tree. In comparison to the precision tree and some of the bruisers or maybe assassins that, you know, might consider Hail of Blades, they already have Electrocute and Predator, which are very, very much more better than Hail of Blades. So it still doesn't tackle the issue here. So I'm not really too impressed about this buff, and hopefully they'll change something about where Hail of Blades is going to be placed, whether it be changed to precision or changed to another tree. Maybe then it'll be a bit more viable, but right now it probably won't see that much play. And the same goes with Unsealed Spellbook. So essentially, Unsealed Spellbook was really good when champions like Vladimir like to use them, you know. Want to go to lane with Ignite just to get their early game presence, and then they'll switch to something like Barrier, Ghost, or Teleport just to be more teamfight utility, you know, roam around the map more, able to engage more. But the meta right now is that champions like Vladimir, they go bottom or, you know, they go mid, and they take Electrocute instead of Unsealed Spellbook because it just better fits the meta and the playstyle. So overall, Unsealed Spellbook is a good rune, but it just doesn't fit the meta right now, and I don't believe necessarily buffing it is going to force its way back in.
Now, you talked earlier about the gold funnel strat. Thank you for explaining it. I want to know, though, is this strat, do you think it's game-breaking if they don't address it soon?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It has changed what the norm was for League of Legends for several years, right? League of Legends has always been the standard tank top lane, tank or damage jungle, AP mid, and ADC and support bot lane. But with this gold funneling strat, everything changed. You now have damage dealers and a support double jungling and double mid laning, while you have, like, in compensate of, you know, an AD mid, let's just say, you would have champions like Vladimir in the bot lane to compensate for the, you know, the AD and the AP kind of ratio on your team, which changes up all the picks and drafts, all the metas, all the, you know, strategies involved. So it is really essentially gameplay.
What's a good way to counter? If you notice, like, oh, geez, they're going for the gold funnel strat, how do you counter this?
It is risky if you're doing a gold strat and the opponent is doing a gold strat, because it's pretty much a contestant of, like, who can get the most gold, who can farm the better, right? And I believe the best way to counter it is not that method, just because it is very heavy RNG weight. By RNG, I mean random number generated. So essentially, if you have a gold funneling comp and the opponent has a gold funneling comp, you're pretty much flipping a coin of who can get bigger, which most teams and I assume most players don't want to take. So the best way to counter this is to be very aggressive in the early game. Pick champions such as, you know, Kha'Zix, Lee Sin, or Vin Zhao, which is really good in the meta right now as well, to really pressure those farming type gold funneling team compositions to force them to fight or force them to group so they don't have that time needed to really scale, to get all the gold that they need, to get all the experience that they need to really close down the game. So, yeah, overall, just try to pick aggressive picks, be aggressive in the early game, and you should be able to counter the strategy.
Now, this weekend, Cloud9 played, and I noticed that Sneaky and Jensen were benched. Do you know why?
Oh, yeah. So, actually, if you check out InventGlobal.com, I posted a recent interview about Cloud9's coach, Reaper, talking about the reasons why he benched the OG players, so to speak, Sneaky, Jensen, because it was due to some of the issues regarding motivation and a lack of seriousness that the players were taking when they were either in scrims or in live games. Quoting head coach Reaper, he explained that Sneaky and Jensen, they were a bit easy on losing games. They were like, oh, whatever, and just move on to the next one. And it didn't really feel like they took the game as seriously as some of the other players would. So that's kind of the reason why Reaper decided to bench Sneaky and Jensen and move up some of the academy players who are more passionate, more serious, and more motivated than these members are. So that's kind of the why Cloud9 did the switcheroo there.
Now, do you think that Sneaky and Jensen can earn their way back on, you know, first pick, like back into the team, or you think they're going to be stuck in the academy forever?
I think C9... Sneaky and Jensen are more than capable of earning their spots back. It's just a matter of time. Because Sneaky and Jensen are very talented players, and they've been around the scene for God, you know, how long, right? And from looking at their solo queue games, looking at their stream, you can tell that they're being more serious. They're playing, you know, they're putting more hours into the game than they did before. So if this, you know, goes along fine and they keep improving, I don't doubt that, you know, someday they will get their seats back.
All right, cool. Now for the fun part, the champion spotlight. And this week we're going to do Lucian. Do you think this champion is doing good in this patch?
Yeah, I think Lucian is doing actually amazing during this patch, just because Lucian hasn't been doing that well throughout, let's just say, 5 to 6 patches ago, because he just really didn't fit into the meta of the whole crit build. But now, since all the crit items have been nerfed and Blade of the Rune King got buffed, Lucian just fit right into where all the AD carries were, you know, missing. And on top of that, the changes to Essence Reaver as well just made Lucian such a good fit for the meta with, you know, the utility, the damage, the item build, and everything. So overall, Lucian is pretty great.
Now, you know, I've seen Lucian everywhere except really jungle, but what lane do you think he's going to, like, really shine in right now?
So there's actually 3 lanes, weirdly enough, that Lucian shines the most in my opinion. It's first is bottom lane, of course, since he's an AD carry, fits very well. And then top lane, just because some matchups where they do pick a tank or a bruiser type top laner on the other side, Lucian is very good at counterpicking those picks, just because Lucian is ranged, he has mobility with his dash, he has poke, and can really oppress the enemy laners from really, you know, farming and doing what they want to do. So that's why Lucian is good at top. And lastly, he's really good at the gold funneling strategy, the one I mentioned previously. When Lucian goes mid, and then he would have a support, let's just say Tarn or Braum, to double jungle with him and double mid lane with him, and that would just give all the gold to Lucian, and he would scale up more and more fast. And this was actually seen in yesterday's game with, I believe it was FlyQuest, Wild Turtle using this strategy with Centaurn. But yeah, those are probably the lanes that Lucian are going to be most likely to shine the best at.
Now, would you pick the same weapons, the first item, like if you were in top lane versus like bot lane? Would he still pick the same weapon or no?
I would say yes, just because there's only really one item that Lucian should be rushing, and that is Blade of the Ruined King. Just because it's probably the cheapest item to get as an ADC right now. And then Lucian fits so perfectly with the items because he gives him lifesteal, gives him attack speed, and he gives him that percentage damage as well, which is what Lucian wants and needs. In top lane, you want to get it because the percentage and the sustain that you get from the item does so well against tanks, and you want to get it bottom just because you want that attack speed and sustain. And for mid, you want it as well for all the same reasons. So that's probably, for all lanes that Lucian goes, Blade of the Ruined King.
Now, when it comes to supports, is there a specific support that should go with Lucian?
There's a couple of supports that synergize really well with Lucian. A couple of them are Braum, Taurus, and Leona. Now, these champions are really good with Lucian just because Lucian has so much burst potential in the early game. You know, the how his kit has laid out with his passive being able to double attack every time he uses his ability. So you want a support that has hard CC and likes to go in. And those champions, as I said before, are Leona with her EQR combo is excellent for Lucian. Braum synergizes well with Lucian just because of his double tap passive with Braum's passive on the stun. Taric is good because the funny thing is when you bind Taric with Lucian and you stun, Lucian can actually dash forward in order to match the stun with Taric, which adds that extra bit of safety and consistency to Taric's stun, which makes the lane even more so better. So those are some of the support champions that you should be considering or you should pick when you have a Lucian on your team.
Now, with Lucian, does he have, like, a really good rune spec you should take that would be good for top lane and at really any lane?
You almost always want to take Presti Attack just because of his passive, really. Because his passive gives him two autos every spell, and you only need three autos to proc Presti Attack for the additional armor reduction and bonus damage. So, you know, it works really hand-in-hand. So that's probably the only rune you really want to go on Lucian if you want to be very proactive in the lane. And regarding to the weapon build, I would suggest rushing Blade of the Ruined King every time, every game. And then second item is up to personal choice, but I prefer getting Black Cleaver just because it helps with the armor reduction alongside Presti Attack, which has really nice energy on it. And then third, you can either go Phantom Dancer or you can go Essence Reaver. But I would suggest Phantom Dancer just because it really synergizes well with Black Cleaver, reducing the armor as well, with alongside Presti Attack. And then, you know, later on the streets, you can get items such as Mercurial Scimitar or later Essence Reaver, as I said before, to really balance out the build as a whole.
Well, James, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Thank you for having me again. I mean, it's always a pleasure to talk about League of Legends with you, Mason. And if you guys want to learn more about League of Legends or more about me or more about, as I said before, information on Cloud9, like that, go ahead and check out InventGlobal.com. We have all the news that you want and need to hear and anything game-related.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.